We thank you for Del Palmer being here with us and for the ministries and missionaries that he represents and the combined efforts of our AFLC churches. We pray, Lord, that you would bless him as he speaks. You would empower him by your Spirit, and that you would bring blessing to the ministry that together we are part of taking your word around the world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Del, we invite you to come up and bring to us both your greeting and your opening the word to us. And as you bring a missionary message, it's going to be received warmly. We want to take that step with you.
Well, it's good to be with you here today. How many of you think that when the World Mission Director comes, he comes for the purpose of seeing if you will give more money? Sometimes I think I would, maybe. But you know what? I'm coming for a different purpose. And that purpose is to get something that is more valuable from you, and it's also much harder to get. What, anyone want to venture a guess at what that is? Prayer. It's more valuable than money, isn't it? And in all honesty, it may be harder to get, because if you're anything like I am, you have all kinds of things that you want to pray for, but sometimes you just don't always get around to it. Your prayers have kept our missionaries on the field time and time again. I think of the Nate Jorys, and I don't know if you're familiar with them, but you know, I believe it's only by prayer that they're kept in Uganda, and because of their documentation needing to stay in the country there. So please do pick up one of these cards and be mindful of our missionaries in prayer. I'm going to ask that you would take out your Bibles, and if you don't happen to have brought one with you there today, pull one out of the chair in front of you, and if we could turn to John chapter 20, beginning with verses 19 through 23. And there it says this: on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." With that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Lord Jesus, today I pray that you would open your word to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would allow me to have a special gift of your Holy Spirit, that I might proclaim your word with all of the truth and the excitement and the spiritual unction that it deserves. And then, Jesus, would you let your word have its way in each of our lives? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I look at my Bible, and yours maybe is the same, on the side, there's a column, and it has references, and my Bible says, it labels this section as the New Commission. And when I was writing this, I thought about that. What does the word commission really mean, or to be commissioned? And I thought, you know, there are commissioned officers and non-commissioned officers, and I just really didn't understand what was the real meaning of that term, commission. And so I went where all knowledgeable people of our day go. Where do you find your information? Now be honest. Google is a great place, you know. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go there. I think you can do this sermon almost for me. You know it well enough. You know, and so the first few ones were YouTube videos about commissionings. And all of a sudden, I realized that this was commissioning of boats. And the first one, the lady took a bottle, and the bottle was, it was a small boat. And the bottle was more sturdy than the bow. And when she hit it, the the bottle didn't break. It just left a big dent in the boat. And the boat wasn't even commissioned properly, at least. The next one was a huge ship, you know, an ocean liner. And so they had to build scaffolding up to the bow of the boat. And they couldn't get close enough to actually hit the bow of the boat with the bottle. So they had a long rope tied, and they let go of the bottle, and it swung out, and it slipped out of the rope and fell into the water. And I decided, this is getting me nowhere. And so I decided, let's look up the real definition of the word commissioned. And it had a couple of definitions, as dictionaries oftentimes do. The first one was, it's an authoritative order, charge, or direction. And then the second one, it does talk about officers. It says, commissioned officers derive authority directly from a sovereign power, such as holding a commission charges them with duties and responsibilities of a specific office or position. Now think about that in relationship with God. Throughout history, God, the sovereign of the universe, has commissioned or sent individuals to take the land for him. Now we think about that. Can we just look at an example in the Old Testament of a commissioning and how that went? And I'd have you notice three different things. First of all, the commissioning, and then the response of the person, and then the consequences. And if you still have your Bibles handy there, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15 in the Old Testament. While you're turning there, this is the commissioning of King Saul. And we notice verses 1 through 3 of 1 Samuel 15. And Samuel said to Saul, I am the one that the Lord sent to anoint you as king over his people Israel. So now listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put them to death. Men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. Now we think about King Saul. What do you think King Saul was doing when this message came to him? I mean, surely he was a king, but Israel was in its infancy. Surely they didn't have a throne room with a throne, but he was king. And he was probably just going about daily life. And all of a sudden, he got this commission. Is it possible to bring that commission into today's language a little bit, or today's life? So he was told to go and to kill these wicked people, but he was also told to do something with other things, to get rid of them. And we look at some of those things, and we ask ourselves, what did they really represent? So, for the cattle, if we were to bring it into today's language, what did it represent for them and what would it be for us? What did they use cattle for? For food, sure. And so, could we say that God has come here and he has said, I want you to go and to take Grand Forks. And when you go into the Walmart and you see all of that beef there, what are you supposed to do with it? Get rid of it, right? Don't bring it back home with you, but get rid of it. This was something of value that he said to get rid of. Okay, so what about sheep? What would the sheep represent? Couple of things, I believe, but especially what? Clothing. Do any of you ladies like to shop at Kohl's? You know, Kohl's has a sale. That's the common saying around our house. Kohl's always has a sale, right? And so as you walk into the Kohl's, what are you supposed to do with all of that clothing that fits you? Get rid of it, right? That's what the sheep represented to these people. Or what about the donkeys and the camels? Transportation. And so when you won't go by that Ford dealership, you've taken the whole city, everybody is gone. You go by that Ford dealership, and there is one of those really nice decked out Ford pickups. And you're supposed to do what with it? So you see what was going on here. He was supposed to destroy all of these things. Well, we noticed the commissioning, but let's take a look at the response. In verses 7 through 9, we begin to see the response. And it says there, Saul did attack. He attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all of his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle and the fat calves and the lambs. Everything that was good, these they were unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. And so it's as though they went into the Walmart and they noticed all of that beef there. And some of it was already starting to turn. You know, it was getting brown around the edges. That which was going bad, they threw it into the dumpster. But that which was good, they kept. Or they went to the Goodwill and they saw all of that clothing there that was used, and they got rid of it. But when they went to the Kohl's, the stuff that was brand new, they kept it. Or they went to the junkyard, or maybe even to the used car dealer, and the place where they had all of the cars that were just no good at all. They got rid of those, but the good stuff, they kept. We notice here that it begins to go a little bit farther. Look at verses 13 through 25 when they came back. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." He thought he did everything right, didn't he? But Samuel said, "What is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" And Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest." "Stop," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. He thought it was going to be a good message, didn't he? "And although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you as king over Israel, and he sent you on a," what word is that? "On a mission, saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them, pounce, make war on them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission that the Lord assigned to me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took the sheep and the cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." But Samuel replied, and catch these words because we're going to come back to them as I conclude in a few minutes here. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as obeying the voice of the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's commands and instructions. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave them back. I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. And what do we notice going on here? Saul received a commission. He went on the mission. He did almost everything, but not quite everything. What were the consequences? We read down into verse 26 through 29. Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. And Samuel turned to leave. And Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe and tore it. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one who is better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. And what happened as we go through the next few chapters? In chapter 16, we see that God took his kingdom away. In that same chapter, we also notice that God, and this is a terrifying aspect, God actually took his spirit away from him. In the next chapter, he took his courage as he was facing Goliath. Who should have been the one that was the tall one that went and faced Goliath? It was Saul, but David was the one who ended up having to do it. And he died in battle, a jealous and broken man. You know, this is a very sobering part of Scripture, isn't it? Especially when I consider that Saul did most of what was required, but not everything. Saul set aside the conditions of his commission for a few of this world's comforts. But then I began to think about the times when I have done most of what is required, but not everything. Saul was commissioned by God, but now he was out of commission. That brings us to Jesus' commissioning of us. Following his death and resurrection, he commissioned his followers to go and take the world. We see it here. He simply says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. He says it over and over again in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He says, go into all of the world and preach the good news to all creation. We think of the Great Commission where he says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And what has been our response? This is the commission of the sovereign of the universe. And he's not just saying, go to your family members or to your next door neighbor. What is he saying? He's saying, go into all of the world. Go to all nations. Go to the ends of the earth. And we have to ask, what has your response been? Have you, have I, set aside the conditions of our commission for a few of this world's comforts? We ask also the question, what should we expect as the consequences? You see, we're dealing with the God who says he does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Saul was out of commission. He went into battle, but he didn't fully carry out his commission. In the end, he was out of commission. What about you? And what about me? There's another one that was commissioned. Knowing our out-of-commission state, the sovereign of the universe had a plan to take the land. To take the land and even rescue us. And that plan was put into effect before the creation of the world. From the throne room of heaven, the sovereign of the universe, he commissioned his very own Son to come and take the land and to bring us back to himself. The King commissioned his Son. And in John chapter 3, verse 16, it tells us those wonderful words, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Success in this mission would take absolute and total obedience. And he was the only one that could do it. And so God sent his Son. God commissioned his Son. And what was the response? He left the throne room of heaven. He was willing to sacrifice. It didn't matter what the cost. He wasn't just giving up a convenience. He was giving his very life. What was the response? Can we go back to Saul for just a moment or two and read those verses that I said that I would come back to at the conclusion? We thought about his disobedience. You see, Saul thought that he could disobey and then atone for it by a sacrifice. But God says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. What was it that Saul thought? He thought, if I disobey, I can atone for it then by a sacrifice. But he had it turned exactly opposite. These same words were used about Jesus. If you want to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 10, we begin to pick up almost exactly the same words. But they had a totally different emphasis. You see, this time there was going to be total obedience and then turning around and giving that total obedience as a sacrifice, as a free gift to those who couldn't earn their way into heaven. There in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 10, it simply says this: "It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when Jesus came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased.' And then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God.' First he said, 'Sacrifices and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made.' And then he said, 'Here I am. I have come to do your will.' He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." By that sacrifice, by what Jesus did on the cross, even though, yes, we have failed, even though we haven't carried out that great commission at times, we have been made holy. Romans simply tells us of the consequences of the sacrifice that Jesus made. And it simply says we have peace with God. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He was delivered over to death for our sins, was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When was it that Jesus came and talked to his disciples there? When was it that he commissioned them and us? Was it not after he died and was resurrected and that he came? And what were the first words that he said? Peace be with you. And that's what I'm saying to you today. The peace of God, bought by Jesus' death on the cross, be with you. You have peace with God. You have been made holy. And now, as Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Go in the peace of God and reach the world. Lord Jesus, I pray that for each one of us, that we might first come to realization that yes, we have failed you in so many ways, and yet you have brought us holiness and peace. And because of that, you have commissioned us to go. Just as the Father sent you, that we are to go and to reach the world for you. Help us to do that in Jesus' name.